your dream brother. And these are my wolf brothers.
I will be your not drunk enough yet, Sedai. Shit.
And I am the Styles to our Teen Wolf and Teen Wolf 2.
I don't love it.
That's the best part about twofers, is that we get that crossover. We get that tangent crossover.
Wait, who was the Styles in Teen Wolf 2?
Yeah, who was his Styles? You know he had someone. I always loved Styles. I always loved that character. And
I don't even know what you're talking about. I thought you were talking about his sunglasses at first. I didn't know you were talking about an actual character.
No, Styles was his buddy, dude. That's his buddy.
I loved that 80s character that was always a little, like, was a little too good at throwing parties. Like, at the party, like, he's like the game master at the party, getting everybody involved. And
oops, I burned my parents' house down. Oops, I killed a blade master. Oops, that was me. Hey, I'm going to have a little get together. 4 or 5 people. Oh my God, there's 50 people at my house. What the fuck?
So he literally had a Styles. There was a guy named Styles. It was just played by a different actor.
Shut up.
I'm dead serious.
Who played him? I'm sure nobody. But
Stuart Fratkin.
Yes.
Oh, that's my boy.
Stuart Fratkin. And that's two with two O's, everybody.
T-O-O, yes. Like Teen Wolf as well.
Also.
Teen Wolf also, not like the second go-round.
Yeah, Styles was played by Jerry Levine in the original Teen Wolf.
Oh my God. Oh, he was in an episode of Friends. Lowell, who's Lowell? I should remember who that is.
Loyal, Bullet Rye. It's beautiful and delicious. If we ever get sponsors, lifetime supply, and I'm in.
Man, I got one guy that I work with, and that guy loves whiskey, and he is like, he's trying to get me into more whiskeys, and I'm like, I don't have that palate, man. Because he's talking like 400 bottles, $400 bottles, oh. $500 bottles. Yes. I'm like, oh my gosh, I spent $40 on a bottle, the Costco size bottle one time, and I was like sweating. Like, oh my gosh, this is so much.
I got to sneak this through the garage.
Yeah, okay, seriously. God,
like, this is serious shit.
If I came home with a 400 bottle of whiskey, my wife would be like, what is wrong? What is wrong with our life that you would think that you would need that?
Yeah, like you realize you just bought season tickets to the A's, right?
Yes, seriously. It's literally a car payment.
Totally. Yeah, exactly.
I know, it's not.
All right, Wolf Dreams, let's do this, Des.
All right. Today, we are going to be talking about The Dragon Reborn, Chapter 9, Wolf Dreams. And somehow, Fatty's going to get this down to a 15-minute clip?
Every time you guys say wolf now, all I hear is Amadeus's wife from the movie, from Mozart's wife from Amadeus, when she would always be like, Wolfie, Wolfie, let's go out tonight.
I think you're lying, Grandpa. If it's a tight clip, Justin, if you're not going to jump around, I can play it so we can get a good capture of it.
Yeah, can you please? Because I had to fucking, my phone keeps trying to reconnect to my, I don't know, it's killing me.
Where are you starting?
Just start at the beginning and I'll tell you, we can cut it.
The Dragon Reborn, Chapter 9, Wolf Dreams.
Put on 1.5.
Chapter 9. Wolf Dreams. Perrin returned to his room by the back way, and after a time, Simeon came up with a covered tray. Images of Gnome ran through his head over and over again. Gnome chewing at the wooden slats. Gnome running off into the darkness. He tried to think of lockmaking, of the careful quenching and shaping of the steel, but it did not work. Ignoring the tray, he rose and made his way down the hall to Moraine's room. She answered his rap on the door with, "Come in, Perrin." Moraine was alone, for which he was grateful, sitting with an ink bottle balanced on her knee, writing in a small leather-bound book. She corked the bottle and wiped the steel nib of her pen on a small scrap of parchment without looking at him. "I have been expecting you for some time," she said. "I have not spoken about this before because it was obvious you did not want me to. After tonight, though, what do you want to know?" "Is that what I can expect?" he asked. "To end like that, perhaps?" He waited for more, but she only put pen and ink away in their small case of polished rosewood and blew on her writing to dry it. "Is that all? Moraine, don't give me slippery Aes Sedai answers. If you know something, tell me, please." "I know very little, Perrin." While searching for other answers among the books and manuscripts two friends keep for their researches, I found a copied fragment of a book from the Age of Legends. It spoke of situations like yours. That may be the only copy anywhere in the world, and it did not tell me much.
What did it tell you? Anything at all is more than I know. Burn me, I've been worrying about Rand going mad, but I never thought I had to worry about myself.
Even in the Age of Legends, they knew little of this. Whoever wrote it seemed uncertain whether it was truth or legend, and I only saw a fragment, remember. She said that some who talked to wolves lost themselves, that what was human was swallowed up by wolf. Some. Whether she meant 1 in 10, or 5, or 9, I do not know.
I can shut them out. I don't know how I do it, but I can refuse to listen to them. I can refuse to hear them. Will that help?
It may, She studied him, seeming to choose her words carefully. Mostly she wrote of dreams. Dreams can be dangerous for you, Perrin. You said that once before. What do you mean? According to her, wolves live partly in this world and partly in a world of dreams.
A world of dreams?
He said disbelievingly. Moraine gave him a sharp look. That is what I said, and that is what she wrote. The way wolves talk to one another, the way they talk to you, is in some way connected to this world of dreams. I do not claim to understand how. From what I have read of the Aes Sedai who had the talent called dreaming, dreamers sometimes spoke of encountering wolves in their dreams, even wolves that acted as guides. I fear you must learn to be as careful sleeping as waking, if you intend to avoid wolves, if that is what you decide to do.
If that is what I decide, Moraine, I will not end up like Gnome, I won't!
You speak as if you can make all your own choices, Perrin. You are Tavirin, remember? Perhaps knowing what Rand is, knowing how strongly Tavirin he is, I have paid too little attention to the other two Tavirin I found with him. Three Tavirin in the same village, all born within weeks of one another. That is unheard of. Perhaps you, and Matt, have larger purposes in the pattern than you or I thought.
I do not want any purpose in the pattern, Perrin muttered. I surely can't have one if I forget I am a man.
Will you help me, Moraine? It was hard to say that. What if it means you're using the one power? Would I rather forget I'm a man?
Help me keep from losing myself?
If I can keep you whole, I will. I promise you that, Perrin. But I will not endanger the struggle against the shadow. You must know that, too. And if your struggle means putting me in my grave tomorrow, will you do that, too?
He was icily sure that she would. What have you not told me?
Do not presume too far, Perrin, she said coldly.
Do not press me further than I think proper.
He hesitated before asking the next question. Can you do for me what you did for Lan? Can you shield my dreams? I already have a warder, Perrin. Her lips quirked almost into a smile. And one is all I will have. I am of the blue Aja, not the green.
You know what I mean. I don't want to be a warder,
bound to an Aes Sedai the rest of my life. That's as bad as the wolves. It would not aid you, Perrin. The shielding is for dreams from the outside. The danger in your dreams is within you. She opened the small book again. You should sleep, she said in dismissal. Be wary of your dreams, but you must sleep sometime. She turned a page and he left. Back in his own room, he eased the hold he kept on himself, eased it just a trifle, let his senses spread. The wolves were out there still, beyond the edges of the village, ringing Jara. Almost immediately, he snapped back to rigid self-control. What I need is a city, he muttered. That would keep them at bay. After I find Rand. After I finish whatever has to be finished with him. He was not sure how sorry he was that Moraine could not shield him. The one power or the wolves. That was a choice no man should have to make. He left the fire laid and the hearthstone unlit, and threw open both windows. Cold night air rushed in. Tossing blankets and comforter on the floor, he lay down fully clothed on the lumpy bed, not bothering to try to find a comfortable position. His last thought before sleep came was that if anything would keep him from deep sleep and dangerous dreams, that mattress would. He was in a long hallway, its high stone ceiling and walls glistening with damp and streaked by odd shadows. He had no idea where the light came from.
No,
he said, then louder.
No, this is a dream. I need to wake up. Wake up.
The hallway did not change.
Danger.
It was a wolf's thought, faint and distant.
I will wake up. I will.
He pounded a fist against the wall. It hurt, but he did not wake. He thought one of the sinuous shadows shifted away from his blow.
Run, brother. Run.
Hopper? He said wonderingly. He was sure he knew the wolf whose thoughts he heard. Hopper, who had envied the eagles.
Hopper is dead. Run.
Perrin lurched into a run, one hand holding his axe to keep the haft from banging against his leg. He had no idea where he was running or why, but the urgency of Hopper's sending could not be ignored.
Hopper's dead, he thought. He's dead.
But Perrin ran. Other hallways crossed the one he ran along, at odd angles, sometimes descending, sometimes climbing. As he came on one of those crossing halls, he skidded to a halt. A man stood there, blinking at him uncertainly, in strangely cut coat and breeches, the coat flaring over his hips as the bottoms of the breeches flared over his boots. Both were bright yellow, and his boots were only a little paler.
This is more than I can stand,
the man said, to himself, not Perrin. He had an odd accent.
Not only do I dream of peasants now, but foreign peasants, from those clothes. Be gone from my dreams, fellow.
Who are you?
Perrin asked. The man's eyebrows rose as if he were offended. The strips of shadow around them writhed. One detached from the ceiling at one end and drifted down to touch the strange man's head. It appeared to tangle in his hair. The man's eyes widened and everything seemed to happen at once. The shadow jerked back to the ceiling, 10 feet overhead, trailing something pale. Wet drops splattered Perrin's face. A bone-rattling shriek shattered the air. Frozen, Perrin stared at the bloody shape wearing the man's clothes, screaming and thrashing on the floor. Unbidden, his eyes rose to the pale thing like an empty sack that dangled from the ceiling. Part of it was already absorbed by the black strip, but he had no trouble recognizing a human skin, apparently whole and unbroken. The shadows around him danced in agitation and Perrin ran, pursued by dying screams.
Change, burn you, he shouted. I know it's a dream. Light, burn you, change.
Colorful tapestries hung along the walls between tall golden stands holding dozens of candles that illuminated white floor tiles, and a ceiling painted with fluffy clouds and fanciful birds in flight.
Danger.
The sending was even fainter than before, and more urgent if that were possible. Axe in hand, Perrin started warily down the hall, muttering to himself.
Wake up, Perrin. If you know it's a dream, it changes, or you wake up, burn you.
The hallway stayed as solid as any he had ever walked. He came abreast of the first of the pointed white archways. It led into a huge room, apparently windowless, but furnished as ornately as any palace. A woman stood in the middle of the room, frowning at a tattered manuscript lying open on a table. A black-haired, black-eyed, beautiful woman clothed in white and silver. Even as he recognized her, she lifted her head and looked straight at him. Her eyes widened in shock, in anger.
You? What are you doing here? How did you? You'll ruin things you cannot begin to imagine.
Abruptly, the space seemed to flatten, as if he were suddenly staring at a picture of a room. The flat image appeared to turn sideways, become only a bright vertical line down the middle of blackness. The line flashed white and was gone, leaving only the dark, blacker than black. Just in front of Perrin's boots, the floor tiles came to an abrupt end. As he watched, the white edges dissolved into the black like sand washed away by water. He stepped back hastily.
Run.
Perrin turned and Hopper was there. A big gray wolf, grizzled and scarred.
You are dead. I saw you die. I felt you die.
Ascending flooded Perrin's mind.
Run now. You must not be here now. Danger.
great danger. Worse than all the Neverborn. You must go. Go now. Now. How? Perrin shouted. I want to go, but how? Go!
Teeth bared, Hopper leaped for Perrin's throat. With a strangled cry, Perrin sat up on the bed, hands going to his throat to hold in lifeblood. They met unbroken skin. He swallowed with relief, but the next moment his fingers touched a damp spot. Almost falling in his haste, he scrambled off the bed, stumbled to the washstand, and seized the pitcher, splashed water everywhere as he filled the basin. The water turned pink as he washed his face, pink with the blood of that strangely dressed man. More dark spots dotted his coat and breeches. He tore them off and tossed them into the furthest corner. He meant to leave them there. Simeon could burn them. Shivering in shirt and small clothes, he sat on the floor and leaned back against the bed. This should be uncomfortable enough. Sourness tinged his thoughts, and worry, and fear, and determination. I won't give in to this. I won't. He was still shivering when sleep finally came, a shallow half-sleep filled with vague awareness of the room around him and thoughts of the cold. But the bad dreams that came were better than some others. Rand huddled under the trees in the night, watching the heavy-shouldered black dog come nearer his hiding place. His side ached. The wound Moraine could not quite heal, but he ignored it. The moon gave barely enough light for him to make out the dog, waist high with its thick neck and massive head, and its teeth that seemed to shine like wet silver in the night. It sniffed the air and trotted toward him. Closer, he thought. Come closer. No warning for your master this time. Closer. That's it. The dog was only 10 paces away now, a deep growl rumbling in its chest as it suddenly bounded forward, straight at Rand. The power filled him. Something leaped from his outstretched hands. He was not sure what it was. A bar of white light, solid as steel. Liquid fire. For an instant, in the middle of that something, the dog seemed to become transparent. And then it was gone. The white light faded except for the afterimage burned across Rand's vision. He sagged against the nearest tree trunk, the bark rough on his face. Relief and silent laughter shook him. It worked. That saved me. It worked this time. It had not always. There had been other dogs this night. The one power pulsed in him, and his stomach, twisted with the Dark One's taint on Sidene, wanted to empty itself. Sweat beaded on his face despite the cold night wind, and his mouth tasted full of sickness. He wanted to lie down and die. He wanted Nynaeve to give him some of her medicines, or Moraine to heal him, or something, anything to stop the sick feeling that was suffocating him. But Sidene flooded him with life, too. Life and energy and awareness larded through the illness. Life without Sidene was a pale copy. Anything else was a wan imitation. But they can find me if I hold on. Track me. Find me. I have to reach Tyr. I'll find out there. If I am the dragon, there'll be an end to it. And if I am not, if it's all a lie, there will be an end to that, too. An end. Reluctantly, with infinite slowness, he severed contact with Sidene. Gave up its embrace, as if giving up life's breath. The night seemed drab. The shadows lost their infinite sharp shadings and washed together. In the distance, to the west, a dog howled, a shivering cry in the silent night. Rand's head came up. He peered in that direction, as though he could see the dog if he tried hard enough. A second dog answered the first, then another, and two more together, all spread out somewhere west of him. Hunt me, Rand snarled. Hunt me if you will. I'm no easy meat. No more. Pushing himself away from the tree, he waded a shallow, icy stream, then settled into a steady trot eastward. Cold water filled his boots, and his side hurt, but he ignored both. The night was quiet again behind him, but he ignored that too. Hunt me. I can hunt too. I am no easy meat.
Those aren't dark owls, dude. They're coyotes.
I don't remember the Rand part when I listened to it.
Dude, this is like one of the first times you kind of see, like, he's like definitely... Rand is definitely needs like a Capri Sun and some orange slices and a nap right now. He's not like Sidene crazy. He's just like, I've been up for 3 days drinking Mountain Dew and playing Tecmo Bowl crazy.
Yeah.
It's getting a little nutty. And he's just kind of like, oh yeah, fuck with me. Fuck with me. I can make this shit work now. Come on. Like, I don't care.
So who are the wolves coming after him though?
They're not wolves. They're dark hounds.
Oh, okay. I think
that one was just a regular dog.
He just balefired a regular dog. Someone's pet.
Yeah, he did.
This motherfucker's trying to steal our chickens. Boom.
Well, I was wondering if that was Perrin. But no, if he did that to Perrin in the dream, then Perrin would be dead. That's right.
Perrin would be dead. Most definitely. I would have to go back and listen again, but I think it was just a regular dog. There was just the dogs that they were tracking him because he had cut across like somebody's land. So they sent the dogs after him. Or maybe he tried to steal eggs or something.
Oh, you're not kidding?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not kidding.
I think they're dark hounds, dude.
You may be right. And I would not surprise me if I read it wrong the whole time for 30 years.
Well, but why would they combine those two in the same chapter, though? It's if
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
If Perrin is.
They're not combined in the same chapter.
Yeah, that was one chapter. The Perrin and the Rand thing.
Yeah, but there's no dark hounds in the one with Perrin.
Right. That's why I mean that.
Oh, you're asking why it's combined. Yeah, that's a good.
Well, no, I'm not. I think it's combined because Rand's hunting wolves. Like you said, he's hunting regular or not regular dogs, but I think wolves.
No, he would never have balefired. That would have been real bad if he balefired a wolf. Because when you balefire them,
they die forever.
They're gone.
They die forever.
Like, they die forever. There's no, you can't
But did he definitely balefire him? I mean, didn't he just poof it? Or is that...
Well, the reason why I think they're dark hounds is because he balefired him. He wouldn't just... He could take care of anything else with just fire or something else, but he balefired it because he knows that's the only thing. Because you cut him up, they'll go back together like the Terminator.
Has he balefired yet, though?
Yeah, that was the first time. Well, the first time that you see it, you know.
Well, it's just... It's weird that he's using... Maybe you're right, Justin, because it would be weird if he's like, basically he's using him for target practice so he can learn how to control Sidene.
Well, I'm just like deducing it because a lot of the times is like he really does stuff with like Luz Theron's like kind of like memories, you know, it just kind of instinctually comes to him and nothing else will kill a Dark Hound except Balefire.
Because I think it'd be pretty dark if he was just out there target practicing with dogs or wolves. So for those out there keeping track, we picked up right where we left off last week.
Yeah.
So does Perrin become a warder? I know it's a little spoilery, maybe.
No, I don't think he ever gets bonded. He never gets bonded, right? No, because...
He's just an honorary warder because he's probably always protecting Egwene and Nynaeve anyways.
Well, it changes to a different person eventually. And he's always trying to protect, he's trying to protect everybody that he cares about, but the one person that he starts kind of doing some dark shit for his wife.
His lady friend.
Which, I mean.
Can he eventually just walk? I mean, basically that's kind of what he does here, but eventually can he just walk into a wolf dream or does he always have to lay down and go to sleep?
He has to go to sleep because he can't channel. The only other way I think to get in the wolf dream like that way is to like, you know, Rand can like basically how he opens a gateway. He can kind of do that into Telenriad as well. And so he's like more like Egwene. Egwene could channel herself there, but she can also just go to sleep and go there. And like, so Perrin's like, and like, you're kind of, would you say you're stronger in certain ways?
Yes.
Being there in the flesh definitely gives you some advantages, but it also hinders you in a lot of ways.
Yeah, they say in the books, it's not good for you to...
You can channel more. You can channel, if you're a channeler and you're there in the flesh, you can channel more strongly there. So like if you're not very powerful in the world of dreams, you're more strong if you go there in the flesh. But if you can't channel, you're definitely more vulnerable if you go there in the flesh, I would say.
I know that they say that every time you go there in the flesh that you lose a piece of yourself.
Right.
They say that in a few times.
Like a toenail.
Yeah.
He's got plenty. He's
just
fine.
I mean, yeah, it grows back. Come on, guys. I don't know why you're complaining.
Wolf, hello.
See, there's so many like weird rules and stuff that I learned when having these conversations. Because that's the stuff that I laugh.
Well, they're really just scratching the surface too of the wolf dream. Like you're really just getting your first kind of like real, like you get some scenes of it in pieces and you don't really know what it is. Like as a reader, if you were just here, you've gotten some pieces of Telenriad and not known. But now you'll be like, oh, maybe that was this.
But it's weird, like Perrin has to go to sleep. Rand can go to sleep or he can walk into it. But if he does walk into it, he loses part of his soul.
And either way, even if he goes to sleep, Jeremy, correct me if I'm wrong, he's channeling his way there, correct? He's not a dreamer. They talk about that later.
I never thought about that. I think that he...
Because if you're not a dreamer, I think you have to channel spirit in your sleep to go there, even if you don't. Basically similar to what they do with the Turing Grail ring, but you can just channel yourself there if you're strong enough in spirit.
Now, this could be me not remembering, but I don't remember any time that he actually does go to sleep and go there when he's not pulled there.
Right. He goes there by choice.
No, I don't know that if he does go there by choice.
In Camelon when he's fighting...
But that's in, he's not asleep.
That's what I'm saying. He goes there by choice awake.
But what I'm saying is, I don't know that he ever goes there by choice when he's asleep.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And, you know, it's the times that he is, he's either pulled in or what? I don't know. Yeah, now that you say that, I'll have to really start to look at that and see if that happened.
Yeah, because I'm curious about it now.
Is Hopper the asshole?
No, Hopper's his like first wolf that he talks to. It's actually, I was just going to bring that up. It's like pretty heartbreaking, actually.
So the guy isn't a wolf brother. He's just a dude.
The guy who gets killed?
In Perrin's dream.
No, Hopper is the first wolf he ever speaks to and the White Cloaks kill him.
Right. Well, I thought Hopper might have also been no, that's right. He was full wolf. So that's.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was just a wolf.
I keep thinking they're like werewolves and they like fully transform.
They're like they're not lichens, dude. They don't fucking go back and forth.
I know. I got to get that through my head that
American werewolf in Wheel of Time.
They're all good looking. and they all fall in love with vampires.
Okay, yeah, Hopper. I remember Hopper. I just thought that...
Oh, Hopper, I'll cry. I'll cry more. Why you kill my dogs?
The woman is Lanfear, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Good call.
Well, and Perrin has no skill here yet. Like, he doesn't know how to travel. He doesn't know how to get himself out of danger at all. Like, he's just kind of like, I want to stop. And it's like, no, I'm not going to do it.
It's weird because he wakes up with wounds, but...
No, it's the blood from the guy that got skinned on his face.
Oh.
So that dude is like gets yoinked and like basically gets just like when the magician does the sheet trick with the, you know, the tablecloth.
Yeah.
That's what they do with the skin.
Oh.
And like his clothes are still on. They go, oh. And it's like, and they're just like, it's like a skin suit. He's just like, and it's like blood everywhere. Oh, dude. I read that. I said to Jeremy, I was like, I read it. I remember, I think I told you about this when I read it. I was like, dude, I read this part like 10 times. It's fuck. I couldn't even like wrap my head around what was happening until I read it like a bunch of times. And I was like, this is fucked up.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
Fucking Robert Jordan is giving nightmares.
I've been listening to this with Cormac in the car. Maybe I shouldn't do that.
You have to listen really closely to understand what happens.
Daddy, did that man just get his skin ripped off? Yeah. Yeah.
Daddy, what's a skin
suit?
And
that's what happens when you don't go to sleep when I tell you to.
The black tendrils will come down from the ceiling and then pull your skin off.
And that's the kind of boomer parenting we were raised on. Enjoy.
Do you know what my son said to me today when we got in the car?
Hmm.
Can we listen to the dragon story?
Oh, your kid. You've already ruined him. I love it.
He did. I'm going to get him.
I love this kid. He's my favorite nephew all of a sudden.
Did I tell you I accidentally bought him time travel books?
Accidentally. Whoops.
Well, I think Amazon might have like bumped it up because of that, but I was just on there Christmas shopping and I was like, oh, fuck.
I might like this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I didn't even know it. He read like the first two and I was like, hey, buddy, you want to read this third one to me? He's like, yeah. And he starts reading it. I'm like,
ah,
the
I love
treehouse is a time machine.
We have come full circle.
Oh, so yeah, him and I are going to do a time pop together soon.
That's awesome.
That's so super good. Dude, I love how Rand just savages up at the end, too. Just like, all right, I'm going to go do this. I'm not fucking scared anymore. I figured out how to make it work.
I'm about to murder this dog.
It's not a dog. He didn't kill someone's pet. Dude, that will ruin everything. I hate you so much. I haven't said I hate you for like 3 episodes. I hate you so much, dude. I will cry so hard. My dog Thor is getting old, man. And sometimes I just look at him and I fucking almost start to cry because I'm just like, dude. Like, he's not going to die for like a couple more years at least. But I'm just like, what am I going to do without him? I love him so much. It's fucking stupid. I like my dogs better than my kids. I'm just kidding.
Ooh, so I just went to doesthedogdie.com. For the Wheel of Time. A horse turns to dust.
That's in the TV show.
Yeah, this is the TV show, unfortunately. Does the dog die? So far, just wolves, but you get really emotionally invested in them.
Dude, I'm saying. I'm out. Dude, the second... Well, never mind. But when Hopper... Man, I fucking fully bawled. Speaking of bawling, have you guys watched The Last of Us?
Yeah.
I fucking ugly cried during the third episode.
Oh, I haven't seen it since. Don't say it. Is there addiction in the Wheel of Time? A character is also addicted to an evil dagger.
I'd say people are addicted to the taint. Sidene. Or, you know, Sidar and Sidene, I'd say people are definitely addicted to it.
I can't believe I haven't looked at this yet.
And then they say the tobacco or whatever, and then they never really clarify that that's tobacco or weed.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's tobacco, but why wouldn't they just say tobacco?
I'm pretty sure. I don't know.
Good input. I'm looking at you, Jeremy.
It couldn't be weed, though, because they'd be like, oh, we just sat around, they're all smoking, and then like three guys fell asleep, and the other guys were all started laughing, and we all wanted to eat. There's
such
like
a square. That doesn't happen. I don't even get high anymore. It's not for lack of trying.
Clearly. Charlie Hunnam is not a great actor.
No, 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 not at all.
But he's in one of my favorite movies though, Pacific Rim. I love Pacific Rim. That is such a dumb what? Robots fighting monsters. Oh, come on.
Oh,
it's literally
yes.
what we grew up.
God, you and your fucking Robotech, not we, dude.
It is what we wanted to see growing up. Come on. It's literally Voltron.
I guess so. Not I don't know.
Okay. I have a good point. Right, exactly.
It was a pretty bad movie.
Bad isn't awesome.
I mean, it's no Willow. It's no Mad Mardigan fighting the two-headed.
Clearly, obviously. If it had Val Kilmer in it, it would have been a better movie, though.
I mean, I can't disagree with that.
I watched an almost 3-hour documentary on video game speedrunning this week.
What? That sounds awesome. What is it on?
God, I can't remember the name of it. It's on Amazon. It gets a little deep into everybody, like after, because it's the speed running is fucking amazing, and I can't get enough of it.
What are we talking about? Speed running, like running in a game, or what?
Like getting to the end of a game as fast as possible, whether it's cheating, whether it's
oh, I hate it.
Well, but these people are rooted. They're rooted in cartridge games because cartridge games will never ever be fixed, you know. And dude, these two guys. Each of them held half of a Nintendo, an old school original NES controller. One of them held half of it and only controlled the D-pad. The other one held the other half and only controlled the buttons. They put blindfolds on and beat Mike Tyson's Punch-Out in under 20 minutes.
Get the fuck out. That game was hard. That game was hard. We had to do the timing with King Hippo.
And they did the timing with just the sound cues.
Bro, we used to log so much time. We used to log so much time at grandma's house.
I never beat Mike Tyson.
Never?
I never beat Mike Tyson.
I was little Mac, dude. You never beat him? You suck.
I was terrible at games. I couldn't beat Super Mario Brothers. I was terrible.
You were not the best gamer. I used to kick the shit out of you.
I was not.
You would do okay at Tecmo Bowl, but I would still mostly just beat your ass.
Well, I mean, you just pick the Raiders and you win.
Fuck that, dude. I picked the Bills a lot, too, and the Browns.
You're talking about Tecmo Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tecmo Super Bowl.
Yeah, when you had Bo, you could just fucking be like, you know what? We had some awesome battle. Remember Baseball Stars, because it would keep 162 game stats.
Yep.
And you and I were such whores for stats.
Oh, I love stats so much. So
you could go through and make your own team. So we'd go through and make our own lineups of like our dream teams or whatever. And then it would, you had what, 3 or 4 batting stops. Man, that game was fucking dope. I'd still play that game.
Then you'd get 140 games into a 152 game season and the glitch, the cartridge would glitch out and lose all your stats.
Oh.
And then have to start all over again. Oh, you remember that? Oh, you're just literally just go, no. What's going on? No.
I think that's been the closest I've ever like came to like losing my shit video game wise. Like I was never really a big controller thrower every once in a while if you get to a frustrating part, but that was a couple of times where I was just like, I have guns, I'll shoot it.
I was just thinking about it today. The time I put a PlayStation controller on the floor, jumped as high as I could, squashed it.
I think I was there for that.
Oh, you were absolutely there for that. Because
it was my controller. And you had to go. We're like, I'll go buy you a new one. We went to the store.
The controller wasn't even done crumbling. And I was like, going to Fred Meyer.
Like, we went and got like teriyaki. And like, you got a 6-pack. And I was like, all right, we're going to get LA. Like, we like took 4-footers and played Madden for the rest of the day. Yeah. That's like, sweet, I got it out. Better now. All good.
Oh, because we were gods at that game and everyone quit on us.
Yeah.
Like we would have gotten 110.
That's why I got an Xbox, because you couldn't quit that way on Xbox. Like, fuck PlayStation 2.
Yep.
I'm done with this crap.
The Wheel of Time.
Thank the light for listening to our podcast. Please rate us, like us, tell a friend about our show. Thank the light.
Please like us.
And ask us some questions. Send us. You guys know a lot about us. If you want to know something else about us, it doesn't have to be about Wheel of Time. Ask us what's up.
Cannabis questions.
Fatty's got cannabis questions. I got your AV questions. And Jeremy, well, we love Jeremy.
Jeremy knows about natural gases.
That's true. That's true. Hey, you know what? Old school baseball trivia. That's about all I got.
There we go.
How many saves did Tom Hankey have in 1986?
Tom Hanke in 1986, probably 34. No, 36.
Look it up, people. Fact check him.
Damn it. Now I got to do it.
He's going to go look it up now.
Check us out on Twitter. We are Wolf Brothers at Parched Ailman. That is Wolf Brothers at Parched Ailman. Oh, and send those questions and comments to thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. If you're looking for another great podcast to listen to while you wait for the next episode of Thank the Light, head on over to whatsoundsawesome.com and check out our fantastic podcast lineup. We have comedy and spirituality, time travel movies, fitness and nutrition, and awesome women in the form of All the Answers, Truth Not Trends, Time, Pop, Be Brave, and That Fitness Couple.
Hey, Tom Hanke had 27 saves in 1986, by the way. I feel so disappointed in myself.
I'm impressed that you knew that he was a stopper and not a fucking...
Well, you're the one who said it. How many saves did he have? So I knew. You know why? Because Tom Hanke was the closer for the Toronto Blue Jays in RBI baseball.
Ah. And on that note, don't cork my bottle.
Peace, favor, your sword, people. I'm sorry. Please don't hate me. I just want to be loved so badly.
Styles out.
Yeah!
I don't know. Honestly, dude, I don't know what you're going to get because my shit stopped recording a couple of times. So.
Okay, no worries. Send me what you got.
I will.
And I got Zoom to fill in the blanks.
Love you guys. Later.
Love you. Take it easy. You really haven't read anything in the news, huh?
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
You could probably cut that out, so.